All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, January 11th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you over the weekend with Wildcard Weekend for NFL. We have two games today, three games tomorrow. We have NBA and NHL action as well this weekend. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays, typically 12:30 p.m. Eastern. I had to move it up half an hour here, so appreciate you guys still tuning in and accommodating the change. See a couple people saying good morning. Glad you're feeling better. Appreciate it. It's been a super tough week. Appreciate everybody. You know, I know I canceled a bunch of streams this week. Really wanted to get people answers before all the football action kicks off today, so still a little under the weather. Hope you guys can, you know, bear with me here. But I'm going to do my best to get everybody answers to questions that they asked. And it looks like the first one we missed was this one that came in from Isaiah on the 6th. So we're just going to work through these one at a time until I'm like fairly certain we're caught up. So first question, and let's get SaberSim up. Hey, I forgot to ask my question in office hours today. My apologies. My question is, if I have 55 entries in six contests and I have rank on, it's showing 20 lineups in direct fill mode. Does that mean the top 20 lineups will be used in all six of my contests and they all will be the same lineups in different contests? Does the mini uniques make a difference? Lastly, what is the difference between rank on direct fill and rank on autofill? Okay, so a couple different things here. So I'm going to do a demo of this. Right now, I just entered four contests with different entries, right? So one entry, 20 entries, three entries, 150. These are all like the standard entries that you see, right? So, you know, the answer to this depends on your sorting metric, okay? So for instance, if we're using ROI, right? If you go and look at every lineup, it's going to have a different ROI for a different contest. So like for the pooch punt, this ROI is 183. For the three and out, it's 182. For the Saturday special, it's 337. For the Hail Mary, it's 146, right? So it varies. What happens here is if I'm using unique rank, well, first off, if I'm in direct fill, right? What happens in direct fill is the builder takes all these ROIs and it averages them. So it takes 183 plus 182 plus 337 plus 146 and it adds them up and then it divides them by four since there's four of them and then it gives you an average. So that's what this average is. The builder's saying, hey, the average ROI across these four contests is 212. The average will change if I unselect one of these lineups, one of these contests. So I unchecked it, right? The builder is recalculating. And then now the average is 222 of the selected contests, right? And then if I uncheck another one, now the average is 260. So the average is always changing based on how many lineups you have selected here. So what the builder's doing is in direct fill, it's taking the average of the contest chosen in this section, okay? If you want it to use contest-specific sorting, you have to go one at a time. Since when there's only one, the average is just the same as whatever that contest is, okay? So that's the first thing, right? Second thing here is If I select all the contests and I have unique rank chosen, the number of lineups is going to match the number of entries, okay? But if I change from unique rank to rank, you're going to notice that the lineups box changes to 150. The reason for that is that the builder is not guaranteeing that a unique lineup is going to be used in every contest. It's basically going to take the top lineups and use them more than once. So if I was in direct fill, like I am right now, and I used rank, what would happen is the top contest would get all 150, right? All 150 here. What happens for the 20 max is that the top 20 lineups shown right here go into the 20 max. And then the top three lineups go into the 3 max. And then the top ranked lineup, which we can see, goes into the single entry. So effectively, the first lineup gets used four times. The second and third lineup get used three times. The fourth through 20th lineups get used twice. And then 21 through 150 get used once, right? So what rank is doing, it's using the same lineups. It's basically starting over from the top for every contest. So it goes 1 through 50, and then it goes back to 1. And then it goes 1 through 20, it goes back to 1. It goes 1 through 3, goes back to 1. So that's what's happening with rank versus unique rank. Now, the difference in autofill is that autofill is always going to use the contest-specific ROI. So it's the same as going in direct fill, unchecking all the contests, checking one, letting the builder resort the lineups, and then saving. That's what autofill is doing. It's just doing it a lot faster. So hope that helps you understand what's happening with rank, unique rank, direct fill, autofill. All right. Good stuff there. I'm just going to work from the top down here. So as questions roll in, we'll just hit them all. Next question. Was wondering if you can help with golf. I want to use a player with 10K, 9, 8, 7, 6. How would I be able to make a rule to make lineups like this? You would probably need to do 5 rules. So like, let's say I just go back to Thursday. We go to golf. I think we could do this for FanDuel. All right. So we go to build lineups. So what I would do, what I would probably recommend is lowering minimum salary just to make sure that salary doesn't mess up the rule. So I'd go to rules. I'd go to add new rule. And then I would do group auto. I would say use exactly one. And then I would just add a requirement. And then I would say salary. Greater than. And then I would say salary greater than 9999. And then salary less than 11123. So then this would be the first one, right? And you could just name it. And then you would effectively do this 5 times. You would do this for your 9K range. You would do this for your 8K range. You would do it for the 7. You would do it for the 6. And then if you do this enough, like when I go and I save this rule, right? And then we go and look at it. That's not what I want. I don't want to do this. It's going to grab all those players in that salary range, and then it's going to say use at least one of these players, okay? So that's what I'd recommend as the way to do it. You'd have to do 5 different rules, but it should work because we have one group with 10 players, and you could, you know, obviously spot check that as needed. All right, next question. If I set a min salary before lock, when late swapping, should I leave late swap min salary at 0? I noticed setting at 0 will drop below my initial build min salary, but while setting zero on late swap, tried to get as close to the initial min as possible. So I'll talk about the way I handle this. I typically keep it the same unless there's like news. So like, for instance, I know Nikola Jokic got ruled out like twice this last week, and he was in like a later game. When he got ruled out, I left min salary at zero just to make sure, one, he could get out of lineups, and then two, you know, obviously the usage goes up for a lot of the other Denver players when that happens. Even if I'm leaving, you know, 2,000, 3,000 salary on the table, Russell Westbrook is still probably a better play just because his value is probably so high at that point that it's okay to leave some salary on the table at that point. So if there's no news, like in the later games, and you're mostly just late swapping for small projection adjustments, taking advantage of live data, things like that, then I would typically leave them in salary where I had it. So I guess to wrap up, leave it where it is unless there's high salary players, unless a high salary player gets ruled out in a later game, would probably be my best advice. All right. All right. Next question. Excuse me. All right. My question for office hours whenever you get back is, I'm noticing I always have higher performing entries in my smaller contests like Jukebox, and I win small money. But in my bigger contests with higher entry fees, I have non-winning entries. I thought my higher ROI goes to the higher contests. How am I able to get my higher projection entries into the biggest contests and single entries? If I had those higher entries from Jukebox into higher contests, then I would win big money. How can I fix that? So a couple things here, right? And let's just go back to this example for the weekend here. So a couple things, right? So I entered some contests, right, to do this demo. I got 150 in the nickel, 20 in the 25, one in the big one, and then three in like a 3-max, right? You know, you're doing the right thing if you're using autofill and rank. And the reason for that, right, is that when we're using autofill, we're going to make sure that every contest is being sorted by that contest's ROI. If it's still the best lineup, then it can be used again. Okay. So, you know, if like you might end up with one lineup in four different contests, and that's great. You know, that lineup grades out well across all those. You want to play it, right? And if it wins, you're obviously going to win four different contests. Now, the big thing here, in my opinion, is that, okay, yeah, you have, you know, 150 entries in this small one, but, you know, maybe you have one entry, maybe you have five, maybe you have 10, maybe you have 20, right? If you're not entering the same amount of entries, you know, in one contest as another, well, then I think that, you know, usually I think it's kind of normal to expect, like, to get higher scores in contests that you have more entries in, right? I know it feels bad, but you want to use those to build your bankroll, right? If it bugs you so much, you know, what you could do, right, is you could just not enter them. Stop entering the smaller contests and take that bankroll and apply it to additional entries in the big one. I mean, that's honestly something you could do. And if that helps, you know, makes you like feel better, you know, mentally about like what's happening, then okay, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, obviously, like if we knew what lineups were going to be the highest scoring, we would put those at the top of your pool and we would help you get those into your best contest. But we don't know, right? We're simulating the slate, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of times to try and get an accurate picture of what we think the slate's going to look like. But at the end of the day, the slate only plays out once. So the thing you got to think about is that if you keep building good lineups, if you keep building winning lineups and you grow your bankroll, right, you're going to go from one entry to 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to 100 to 150. And all of a sudden you're going to be maxing it out, right? So it really is, you know, a marathon and not a sprint. Some people, you know, get to take the fast track. A lot of us don't. And, you know, you just kind of got to grind it out. So I wish I had a better answer for you. All right, next question. Can I manually adjust cut percentages for golf sims? So no, you cannot. The cut percentages are basically summary statistics from the sims. So the cut percentages aren't like an input to the sim. We basically simulate the tournament over and over, and then at the end, we're basically saying, hey, this person made the cut this percentage. This person made the cut that percentage. It's not like the cut percentage goes in first and then the projections come from that. All the inputs go in, and then the cut percentage is like a result of the inputs. All right, next question. I keep hearing people talk about min salary. What does that mean? And does it have to be a special number? So min salary is this min box up here. This is, you know, there is a max allowable salary. You know, DFS is a salary cap type format. So the max is $60,000 for this NFL slate. The minimum is a number that can be anywhere from zero to whatever you want it to be. We do some preset defaults here, and the reason for that is that projection is correlated with salary typically. So we want you guys to have like a good floor projection. So we don't want you to dip down too far into playing super low salary lineups. Now, the less games on the slate, the lower minimum salary can be. The more games on the slate, the typically the higher you want minimum salary. And the reason for that is, as there are more games on the slate, you move further and further away from needing an optimal lineup to win. So you can at least play some lineups that might not end up being optimal, but could still end up being the winning lineup. And those lineups are typically going to be well projected enough. So like you'll see, like for NBA, the minimum is typically like 48,000 or something like that, right? Or 58,000 for FanDuel. So this is what minimum salary is. It's good to leave it on. I would at least recommend leaving it at what SaberSim sets the defaults, and you can adjust it from there if you see fit. All right. Good stuff so far. Keeping it rolling. Next question. Good afternoon. Just starting out with using data to create lineups instead of handpicking. If you don't mind sharing, what are some of your strategies when building NBA/NFL lineups using these tools? Good question. Honestly, the best place to get some information like this is going to be Saber School up here in the top right. You can go to Saber School. I would go to this How to Beat DFS section, and then you can filter by sport, right? So I want to go and study NBA. Check out this How to Build Winning NBA DFS Lineups. You got to uncheck it and then go to the next one. And then, NFL, Master the Art of NFL DFS Showdown. This is going to be more and more important as we get into the playoffs. If you're looking for a more classic type, go to How to Build Winning NFL DFS Lineups, How to Beat NFL DFS in 2024. All these are super good videos. So we have a bunch of sport-specific guides across the board here. Saber School is going to be your one-stop shop to check them all out. So I'd really highly recommend. I refer to those as like our sport guides. Check out all of our sport guides for the sports that you're going to be playing in Saber School. All right, next question. Hey, Andrew, this is for whenever you are feeling well enough. Hope you are better soon. Thank you. First one is a thank you to you and the community. Tuesday night NHL main slate, I somehow not only beat one contest, but two with two very similar but different lineups. That's awesome. I implemented something new based off of your office hours session on Monday, I believe, that I think greatly contributed. Just one of many pieces of coaching I've gotten from you along the way. Monday, I actually was laid off, and a lot of the members in here showed a lot of support, both DFS related and for the outside world. Sent good vibes on a bink as well as the job search. Needless to say, the binks on Tuesday came at a great time. I just wanted to say I've only been part of SaberSim for a few months, and the support, positivity, and transparency is quite honestly amazing. Appreciate all of you. Second, I actually do have a question. Been working on increasing my SIV average score as a whole across all sports. Main thing I've been doing is increasing salary. Any other tips to maybe help increase that? Junk Dog, sorry to hear about, you know, the run bad with the layoff, but I'm super glad that you got not one, but two binks on Tuesday. I'm sure that, you know, provides a little bit of relief in the meantime. So super happy to hear that. And I'm super happy to continue to answer your questions. So getting back to increasing SIM average score across the board here, what I would say is that if you're doing salary, that's great. Second thing you could probably do is just implement some type of lineup filter. So for instance, here I have like 108.5 average projection right now. And let's say I go in and I do a lineup filter that says show lineups with projected score greater than, and I'll just make up a number. I don't know, 95. Okay, so I want to at least get to like 10-20% of my lineups in the trash here. So let's go higher, try 100. Okay, it's getting closer to 10%. Let's try like 102. Okay, so this is like closer to 20%. Our average projection didn't change, unfortunately, here. But this is potentially one way it could happen, right? And the other thing is that if you're playing multiple contests, you're using min uniques, is that just trimming out those bottom, you know, 10 to 20% lowest projected lineups just helps you to avoid them if you end up going further down in your pool, if you're using unique rank, if your min uniques are high. So that's the second thing I would recommend as far as increasing SIM average scores, some type of lineup filter in the post build. All right. Okay. Next one is Great White Shark. Can you go over reviewing the swap tab in terms of the dropdown for a contest and the entry IDs to explain which lineup was selected, old versus new replacement lineup, exceptions, failures, metrics, etc.? Thanks. We might be able to do this. So I'm going to hold off on this one until Monday. I didn't play a ton of DFS this week being so sick, but I will late swap for NFL today and tomorrow. So why don't I do that? And then we can talk about this one on Monday. So I'll make a note here. And we will circle back on this one. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, when late swapping an NBA DFS, do you normally adjust exposures or do you adjust them to your liking slash preference? One of my late swaps had 60% of Bam Adebayo. So two things on this. So number one, I don't do that. Number two, that doesn't mean you shouldn't. If you are seeing something that makes you uncomfortable, it is always the right answer to adjust it accordingly. If you're seeing, hey, I have 60% Bam, that is more than I am comfortable with, I would always recommend going in and setting a max exposure, because you want your lineups to look the way that you want them, and you want to be comfortable with the lineups that you're submitting. So in this example, I would recommend setting a max exposure if 60% feels like too much for you, which it sounds like. All right. Next question. What build setup do you recommend for the Minimax free roll? Optimizer? I would say no. You know, there's going to be at least like, my guess is like at least 150 to 200 people in the Minimax, in the Max Challenge free roll this weekend. I'm pretty sure you can like see the entries in the lobby. I'm not 100% sure exactly how many people there are, but I know there's well over 100. And if you're playing for, you know, the Super Bowl tickets, I would probably build it close to like a satellite or something like that, right? So I would go in and what would I do? So I'd probably go in and set up a what you could do is, okay, I'm going to right click on one. Maybe I change field lineups to winner take all. Maybe there's 150 people in the contest. I calculate the percent to first, the percent entries paid. I have one entry and then I save that, right? So if you're using contest sims, I would probably set it up something like that, especially if you're trying to win the tickets to the Super Bowl. But I would definitely not use optimizer mode. I would stick with sim mode. All right. Next question. Why didn't the Sims give me Manchero on his first game back? I don't know. I didn't play yesterday. But my guess is that, you know, Manchero's been out for months now. And it is highly, highly likely he was on a minute limit yesterday. So you gotta think about this, right? It's about opportunity. It's about time on court. So Banchero, wow, played really well. Ownership was low. Yeah, I mean, only 26 minutes. I mean, look, if you go back and you look at like his historical minutes, even from earlier in the season, Banchero is like a 35-plus minute player. So for him to be on the court in a limited fashion, it just means that there's less time for him to take more shots, to play well. Obviously, you know, it seems like he knew that and he took advantage of like his time on the court, but you know, he probably ended up being super low owned because a lot of people didn't play him. So that's unfortunate. Look, I mean, if you want to play him, you know, go in and set some Minimax exposures. But according to this, you know, his value is like really low and it all comes from him being on a minute limit. So I don't know how many minutes he played yesterday. Let's go check. Orlando. Banchero did, in fact, play 26 and a half minutes. So I don't know if that was like said before, that's like what his range was. But sometimes those things happen and there's nothing you can do about it. You got to be careful with these guys who aren't full go. All right. Next question. I'm noticing that my sim 99% profit numbers consistently seem lower than other competition. What does this mean and how to address to raise it? So what it means is basically in the contest sim, what we do is, you know, we run the contest sim 100,000 times, right? And then we effectively can graph your payout distribution. So like all the times you made money, all the times you lost, et cetera, right? It goes on a graph. Same way like player distributions go on a graph, right? Like you click on somebody's name, you have a payout distribution as well. Okay. So from there we can derive statistics like, hey, what are your top 1% outcomes? And then, you know, imagine us ordering them from highest payout to lowest. And then at, you know, the 99th percent mark, which is your top 1% outcomes, whatever that number is your 99% profit. And then we're saying, hey, 1% of the time you make this much money in the Sims. Now, usually if it's low, what that means, you see this most often in like Showdown and stuff. usually means that you're duplicating a lot and that, you know, you're splitting the prize so often that your 99% profit ends up being lower. That's the most common version of that I've seen. If that's not what you're talking about, if that's a classic, I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. I would have to see it and look at it a little bit more. But typically, it's normally related to duplication, and getting more unique lineups would honestly be the most common way of raising that number, right? So geometric mean, salary, lineup construction, some ownership, all the different ways we talk about getting to a more unique set of lineups, you'd want to start looking into those. All right, a couple more questions here. I have a quick question regarding NBA DFS. How many adjustments exposure-wise is too much? If you make too many adjustments exposure-wise, can that cause a negative effect on your total ROI percentage contest-wise? Okay, so two things here, right? Anytime you kind of start to make adjustments, you're most likely deviating from the SaberSim recommendations. That's okay. You know, you want to make the lineups yours, right? Now, it's going to depend on how convicted you are about the adjustments that you're making. So if you don't know how many adjustments you want to make, I typically tell people to do like 3 to 5, like start with your 3 to 5 highest value adjustments. If you want to do more than that, that's okay. But if you're not sure, then I think that's always a good number to start with, right? And then you can see how your adjustments are doing. Are they more often good than, are they more often right than wrong? Are they hurting you more than they're helping you? And then you could either tune it up from there and start to do more adjustments if they're working out, or you could even go less, right? And do less if your 3 to 5 aren't working out very well. So will it cause your ROI to be a little bit lower in the pre-contest sim? Yes, it will be. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. I think it's still okay to make those, to sacrifice some ROI to get the lineups to look the way you want them to look. So ultimately, I think that's okay. All right, next question. Does GeoMean account for only highlighted players, those not grayed out, or for every player in the field? So what GeoMean does, and if we go back to today, so GeoMean works on a lineup level. Now, the way this works, all right, so what geometric mean does is it looks at the player's ownerships and it multiplies them all together, and then it calculates the geometric mean of the lineup as a whole. So no matter what, whether the lineup is in your 150 set, whether the lineup's in the pool, whether the lineup is in the trash, the builder is still calculating the geometric mean of each lineup. So this works on a lineup level. All right. Good stuff there. I think we're caught up with questions, all the questions that I missed this week. Appreciate you guys, you know, bearing with me today and this week. I'm still sick, obviously. I'm sure you guys can tell. So I'm going to get out of here. And I just wanted to get you guys some answers to your questions before the NFL slates this weekend. Good luck to everybody. Hope you guys win big. And I will look forward to seeing the screenshots. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.